Hello and welcome to another episode of An Even Better Second Half. I am your host, Brian Kopic, and we're going to continue on with the book Mindset Matters Most. And I guess I made a mistake last time when I said that I was part one through four, at least in labeling it. I said it was part one through four, and it was actually only part one through three. So on this one, we're going to start with part four. All right. So part four. Maybe you connect deeply to my own experiences of walking through sadness. Maybe not. But section two of this book will help you understand that the reason we often plod through life without truly chasing our dreams, being happy for no reason, and living to our highest potential is based simply on how little we know ourselves. Intimately. We often seek external motivation to fire us up, perform acts of kindness to fill us up, and attend personal or professional development seminars to raise us up, but we rarely seem to be able to make any of that sustainable. The motivational fires extinguish no sooner than they spark. The sense of gratification for doing good often fades quickly. The ascension leads to an abrupt, sometimes painful fall. It's as if an unknown, unseen force is keeping us stuck, intent on preventing, if not defeating, our desires or attempts to achieve more, do more, and become more. A vicious cycle that feels like the terrifying paralysis of drowning slowly in shallow waters. Which brings me to a metaphor that truly helped open my eyes along the journey. It opened my eyes because of how clearly it shows just how much we look in the wrong direction for the answers. The wrong direction and entirely incorrect channels. It's been written and said by countless people in countless ways that in order to create real, lasting change, we need to look no further than ourselves. That all the strength we'd ever need, inspiration we'd ever want, or bliss we'd ever feel is contained neatly within us, a literal volcano of potential that requires a simple spark to unleash. But to those who, like me, have spent more than one night of their lives curled up in a ball of sorrow, skin raw and dry from the endless tears that have been shed, and wondering if their loved ones would be far better off without them, that kind of motivational rhetoric doesn't penetrate as factual. In truth, it makes us feel more broken. As if there's a great secret of inspired living that the rest of the world seems to understand and apply with ease, but we can't crack the code. Part five. This simple analogy helped me begin the process of unraveling it all. You're standing in a rowboat, admiring the sublime view on the horizon, the calm sea, warm breeze, and dipping sunset call to you daily. That's your dream, to stop looking at the oasis and start living within its embrace. You pick up the oar with great excitement, set a goal to be living on those open waters by a certain date, and begin to row. At first, you row with enthusiasm and optimism. Surely, this time, your technique will cause the oar to hit the water in just the right way and at just the right cadence to propel you into that dream life. But it takes no time for the optimism to vanish because yet again you find yourself going nowhere. Memories of past failure begin building in your gut and bring with them a welling of emotion that carries the label, not me. The haunting pit of a feeling that you've experienced before, no matter how many times you've desperately tried to ignore it, that surrounds you and makes you believe success and happiness don't compromise your destiny. That you aren't worthy. So you do the standard societal idioms of our time convince you to do. You search for the will and determination to row harder. You read the motivational slogans, consult the motivational videos, and even hire your very own motivational coach, the one who tells you that if you really want it, if you really want to live the majesty of those open waters, that you really have to put your nose to the grindstone and hustle. But the increased motivation provides no traction. In fact, the harder you row, the more tired you get, and the less you move from the spot you're in. defeated, you turn your attention towards other people who you see trying to row. Perhaps a more charitable, less self-centered approach is what's needed to get your boat on its path. After all, from the school system to religion and politics, we're conditioned to both believe and accept that helping and guiding others should be our primary objective in life, and that in doing so, the action of aiding others will be of benefit to our own goals. Full of altruism, you begin offering advice, motivation, and key insights that will help others get their boats in gear. It feels good at first, but then you come to realize something profound. Well-intentioned or not, your advice is of little use. Your motivation, completely artificial. Your insights, entirely cosmetic. If you knew how to get a boat into those wondrous open waters, then you wouldn't be stuck at the shore yourself. Moreover, the more you try and help, the less focus you place on your own journey. Dejected, you decide to investigate different methods of rowing. Perhaps you simply lack the knowledge of how to get your oar angled properly. It's not so much that you don't have the dream life squarely in sight or that you don't have the motivation to truly do the work to make it happen. You just aren't sure the exact cause and effect relationship of how to get the oar and the water to work in unison. Feeling roused by your epiphany, you begin looking into how-to books, purchase the how-to programs, and even hire your very own how-to coach, the one who helps you understand the finer points of rowing and simplifies the process for you. But the improved knowledge you've gained offers no success. In fact, the more you learn about how to row, the more confused you become and the less you move from the spot you're in. Broken, you opt to start the process of creating better self-talk. Maybe by stating positive affirmations, you can spiritually seduce your boat to move. The vision of the dream life isn't the problem, nor is the motivation or the desire you have to help others culpable for why you only ever managed to fight a current that seems determined to keep you at shore. You simply need to call upon the mystical supernatural forces of our universe to align with them and to allow them to part the waters on your behalf. With renewed faith, you begin telling yourself that you can. You recite, "You can," mantras, chant, "You can," prayers, and even hire your very own "You can" coach, the one who tells you that you can, even when you lose belief in yourself. But all the "you can" talk doesn't prove worthy. In fact, the more you say "you can" in the absence of your boat actually cruising, the more you reinforce "you can't," and the less you move from the spot you're in. The cycle complete, you now feel hopeless. Goal setting had little effect. Searching for external motivation had little impact. Helping others while you can barely stay afloat had little value. Altering your self-talk had little outcome. Part 6. Linchpin is one of my favorite words of all time. Every time I see the word or think of it, I conjure the same mental image. The linchpin is the thing we can't always see. Most of the time because we're simply facing the wrong direction. It's not so much that it isn't in plain sight, we just get caught up in other more visible factors of the paranorma, so seldom notice it. But the linchpin is the thing that makes everything else work. It doesn't typically have the sex appeal or visual allure of all the other parts of a given equation, which is why we overlook it so profoundly. But when we do draw our eyes in its direction, we uncover a limitless ocean of power. Fine-tune the linchpin. The entire instrument plays at perfect pitch. Ignore the linchpin. The cacophony of noise pierces us at the core in the most harsh and cutting ways imaginable. For the purpose of the rowboat metaphor, the linchpin is a small thread of rope. The rope that keeps your boat tied to the dock. Your desire to be in the breathtaking waters, effort to create goals to take you there, hunting of external motivation to fire you up, desire to place others' journey ahead of your own, and attempts to affirm your worthiness to make it all happen combine to create the illusion of success. But in truth, you go nowhere unless that rope is untied. In life, that rope is your mindset. Leave it tied in knots, your desires toward love, happiness, career, money, and fitness will forever elude you. Learn to untangle its bond, and your boat will simply be picked up by a current that already knows the way and will most certainly take you to that vista of your dreams. Success and happiness are not about learning how to become successful and happy. They're about releasing from the reasons why you're not, which is why I'll say again, there is an unknown, unseen force keeping you stuck, intent on preventing, if not defeating, your desires or attempts to achieve more, do more, and become more. That's the linchpin. Change your mindset, everything changes with it.